It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We unpack Wisconsin's fiscal roadmap in the newly enacted two-year budget. Governor Tony Evers made 51 partial vetoes to the Republican-authored budget. Call in with a question or comment on state spending at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so we're going to start with tax cuts. The signed state budget reduces income taxes by nearly $87 million in 23-24 and $88 million in 2024-25. What does this tax reduction plan mean for Wisconsin families?
I think for, you know, if you just look at the average of the tax cut, it's not going to be very big. It's a $36 average decrease in taxes annually. If you compare it to what the governor proposed in his budget, which was, I think, around a $1.2 billion tax cut, and what Republicans proposed in their budget was around $3.5 billion income tax cut. This is much smaller than that. And so a $36 tax cut is not something that either of them was exactly, you know, either Evers or Republican legislators was, you know, exactly promoting all year. What you do end up with is a budget that does have a tax cut in it. And so that's something that the governor can point to, say that, you know, every budget that he's signed so far has had some kind of a tax cut in it. But it's not what they were talking about. When we sort of write the story of this budget or look back on it years from now and we realize, hey, this was that budget when they had that huge surplus in it, the tax cut is not part of that story, at least not yet. And I say not yet because what the governor did by vetoing out most of the Republican tax cut for the top brackets is that he left like $4 billion of the surplus sitting in the general fund by the end of this two-year budget. It's the projected balance. So that surplus we've been talking about, probably still there.
Are there any talks with Republicans about offering tax cuts for the middle class through separate legislation? Could that go anywhere?
I think right now the talks that you're having between Evers and Republicans are basically through the media. Republicans aren't happy with his veto. I think Democrats are pretty happy with the way that the governor reshaped the budget. It sets up a situation just where you can totally imagine the next couple of years, Evers pointing to this surplus that's still there and saying, hey, let's try again. All that stuff that you guys cut out of my budget, let's pass it this time. And maybe I'll pass a version of the tax cut that I can support. And you can totally imagine Republicans coming back and saying, you know, just framing it in their own way and say, let's try this tax cut again, Governor, if you really want to help people out. And you could imagine that argument going on for a couple of years, maybe right on up to the 2026 election cycle.
Any chance that there could be an override here? Are Republican state lawmakers talking about an override of the governor's vetoes on income tax cuts?
Yeah, they're talking about, you know, they can override different portions of his vetoes. And so they could single out basically whatever they want, call for an override. And so you could see that for the tax cuts. You could see that about education funding provisions that we're going to talk about in a little bit. They can try it. They have a two-thirds majority in this. It takes two-thirds majority to override a governor's veto, first of all. The Republicans have that just with Republican senators in the Senate. They have a 22-11 majority in the Senate, which is huge. That is a very large majority in the Senate. So, you know, you could imagine it passing there. In the Assembly, they are just a little bit short of that margin. And so if all Democrats stick together and say, we support our governor, we're not going to override his vetoes, then Governor Evers' vetoes will stand there. Assuming that everybody shows up to session that day and, you know, there's not some not some people who are absent. Democrats have the votes there to block an override, but it would require them sticking together. It would be very rare for a governor's partial veto to be overridden. Last time it happened was 1985.
Mm. Is there anything that, like, you recall in history that informs the contentious issue, the disagreement about tax cuts today?
Well, I mean, Evers and Republicans have had kind of a complicated relationship when it comes to tax cuts, because he has been critical of where they've gone with tax cuts. But in his last budget, his reelection budget, he signed most of their income tax cut and he ran on it. And so this time around, I think it's a different situation, because at the beginning of budget negotiations, Evers said, you know, I don't support a flat tax. So in Wisconsin, we have a progressive income tax. People who make less, or, you know, your lower end of the income spectrum are taxed at a lower rate, and higher income earners are taxed at a higher rate, a progressive income tax system. Republicans have said, we want to move to a flat tax system where everybody, no matter what you earn, gets, you pay the same income tax rate. Evers said at the beginning of budget negotiations, no, I'm not going to support that. Republicans put, you know, it was not a straight flat tax, but they said during budget debate, this is the beginning of a flat tax, or we are moving toward a flat tax. They would have collapsed a couple of the tax brackets into one. They would have lowered the rates on the highest income earners, people who make more than $300,000. They would have lowered that for the first time since Republicans have had majorities in the legislature. And so they were moving the direction that the governor said he wasn't going to support. So if you look at it that way, it's not surprising that he would veto that part of the tax cut. You know, whether they can come together on some kind of a tax cut that, you know, affects more people,
remains to be seen.
They'll have the funding to do it potentially. If they don't, that funding is just going to sit there.
Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief, our guide to the two-year state budget signed by Governor Evers. And you can join in with your questions, your takeaways, 800-642-1234. Okay, so moving on to schools, the budget providing schools an additional $325 per student annually for the next 2 years, and then the partial veto comes, Governor Evers extending the funding raise for 402 years, for, you know, centuries. Can you explain how the governor used his powers to accomplish this change that made national headlines?
He sure did. I mean, I think for years to come, when people say, like, the Wisconsin governor has some of the strongest, you know, veto powers in the nation, they will point to this veto
moment
as an example of that. Yeah, I mean, if you look at it in the budget and you look at what he vetoed, the original budget says for the limit for the 2023-2024 school year and the 2024-2025 school year, add $325. So that $325 is the per pupil increase schools get in each of those school years. Governor Evers struck this is great for radio, right? But he struck 24, then he struck the struck some words, struck 20, struck a dash. And so what he ends up with after he strikes all these words and digits is the 2023 to 24-25 school year. So we're planning on the year 24-25, 400 years from now. And the way that it's left under his veto is that every year until then, $325 per pupil increase in Wisconsin will be the norm. That will be the expectation.
Will it stick? Can schools rely on this for 400 years to come?
I mean, I don't want to get dark here, but, like, how's humanity going to fare for the next 400 years? We don't know. We just know that, like, this is... It's a law. OK, so any law in any session can be overturned by or changed by a legislature and a governor. Or it could be, you know, this could be something that they sue over. It goes to the court and the court says, no, you went a little too far, governor. But if it stands, then the presumption until someone changes it is that this is the baseline that schools can expect, that whatever else happens, they're going to get this $325 per pupil. in you know, funding increase under the state's revenue limit system. And that's, you know, predictability that they want. But like, as to whether it will stand, kind of depends who's running this place for the next 400 years. And if they, you know, if they want to change that, they can. It's a law. It just takes a governor and a legislature to agree.
You mentioned Sioux Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said he does plan to sue Evers over using veto powers to raise school funding. And here is Voss appearing on WISN TV in Milwaukee.
The idea that we're going to have massive property tax increases, something that the governor said he was against, again, just proves he's a liar. He lied to the people of Wisconsin in the campaign last year. He lied to us during the negotiating process. And it now really calls into question his ability to try to find bipartisan compromises like we've been working on this entire year.
So Assembly Speaker Voss really concerned about what this means to property tax increases. What do you see happening there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess before we address that, I would say it's like it is noteworthy to hear the speaker call the governor, say that he lied or that he's a liar. I mean, we kind of just take for granted that in politics, like, the Republicans and Democrats are always criticizing each other and calling each other names, but it's a little unusual for the speaker to call the governor a liar. So he was kind of called on that in that interview, said, hey, that's a big deal. And he stood by it. So that gives you an idea of how he feels about how these budget vetoes turned out. The property tax increase is not a given. So this is a $325 per pupil increase. One way that you can prevent a local property tax increase is for the state to continually increase state funding for public education. So if the state basically funds that per pupil increase, continues to increase its general school funding for school districts, they can prevent property tax increases to some degree, you know, at the local level. If the state doesn't provide state funding, but allows districts to, you know, hit that $325 increase every year, then that would lead to property tax increases. So it's a possibility, sure, but it's not a given as long as there's state funding to back up that number.
Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief, providing takeaways, context for the newly enacted biennial state budget. You can call in with your question or your comment about what transpired in budget season. 800-642-1234 is the number. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Tony Evers uses his broad veto power authority to reshape portions of the state budget. We get takeaways and a fiscal look ahead with WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson is here. And you can call in with a question for Sean about the state budget or share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sean, when you look holistically at 51 partial vetoes from Governor Evers in this budget, you mentioned 1985, the last time of a veto override. What do you make of the 51 in this budget compared to history or what you saw happening in this budget session?
What stands out, I think, to most people is not necessarily the number of partial vetoes here from Governor Evers. It's kind of the content of the two that we've talked about here already. You know, the tax cut, if you just look big picture, is noteworthy because we've been talking about this surplus. We're still going to be talking about this surplus because it's still there. And then the 400 year veto is, you know, the headlines write themselves, right? So that is a partial veto to remember. And if it stands, it's something that we will be talking about for years to come, because like, why would that expectation be in state law because of this veto? So those are kind of big deal vetoes in terms of what the governor did here.
Are any of Evers' vetoes potentially grounds for the state Supreme Court to intervene for being unconstitutional and now considering the makeup of the court?
Yeah, it sounds like Speaker Voss wants to sue over the 400-year veto. And, you know, that he said he wants to talk to his caucus first, you know, the Republican members of the Assembly. He wants to talk to the Senate first. If they file a lawsuit, then, you know, that's ultimately going to be decided by the state Supreme Court. The state Supreme Court has a conservative majority for another few weeks here. And, you know, on August 1st, it changes to a 4-3 liberal majority. And so I think there's a good chance they're going to bring that lawsuit either way. You know, I don't know, but it sounds like they are. But, you know, their chances, practically speaking, of getting the Supreme Court to see the issue their way are better for the next few weeks than they would be August 1st, I think. Mm. You know, Evers is not the first governor to issue a veto that sort of leads to, you know, some might, leads to an unusual result of like hundreds of years being changed in state law. Governor Walker did it with the legislative program. He moved a sunset date to 3018, you know, for example. Essentially, he killed the legislative program. Yeah. By moving it forward 1,000 years. Somebody actually sued over that veto, sent it to the state Supreme Court. But in that case, the state Supreme Court said, you know, it's been too long since that veto was issued, and they decided not to deal with it. You know, there'd been a few years of past. So we don't really know what they think about the content of that veto. And the last time that this state Supreme Court it was a different makeup. But the last time the Wisconsin Supreme Court dealt with one of Governor Tony Evers' vetoes, they had opinions all over the place. It was a really fractured court. Hmm. And so there's not like a real clear idea of how they would view this particular veto that the governor did this month.
We're going to hear a bit more sound here. Representative Tyler August, majority leader of Republicans in the Assembly, in a statement about the governor's signed budget, August said the governor went back on his word and broke our agreement. And here is Governor Evers responding on our show on Friday.
For August or any of those others that are making that claim, that's just baloney. It's unfortunate. It's childish behavior.
You know, in terms of the Republican caucus, how do other Republicans feel about the governor's final budget?
I haven't seen anybody in, you know, any Republican statements out there that are happy with the changes that, you know, the governor made. I mean, on the two big things, like the tax cuts are kind of their centerpiece of the budget. Mm-hmm. They didn't fund a number of the initiatives that the governor wanted on, say, child care, family leave program, broadband. You know, these are some of the stuff that he highlighted that they zeroed out in their version of the budget. And it was kind of with the aim of having this big tax cut at the end. And so he took that out. And so this is not the budget that they had embraced when they passed it in the legislature. And then you get into a real kind of separation of powers question when it comes to that partial veto, and they're not happy that he basically, they view it as taking power from the legislature. So I haven't seen any Republican statements out there saying, thanks Governor Evers on this one. It's been a fairly bipartisan session with the shared revenue deal that they cut, and they cut this deal on housing initiatives. There has been a lot of agreement on some big stuff this session for the legislature that we know lately, and the governor we know lately, you know, their dynamic, but they don't like what he did last week with the budget.
We're talking about the recently signed state budget. Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief. And still time to talk. Ask a question at 800-642-1234. Sean, another contentious area, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Governor Evers vetoed the Republican-backed measure to cut 188 UW system jobs related to DEI. Does the governor's veto effectively preserve these jobs at universities?
I believe so. Yeah, I mean the legislature's budget took a relatively rare step of singling out these positions and saying these are gone, because they weren't. It was easy enough for the governor to use his veto pen to get rid of that. You know, they said these positions are gone. He said, "No, I'm just going to cross that out, and these positions are here." But the legislature also cut $32 million from the University of Wisconsin system. And that's that's like an actual cut that they had in state funding, lawmakers said that was funding that was associated with DEI. They said, though, that you can get that funding back if, you just come back to us with like a plan to use it for growing workforce. The state's workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what the university has to do. Governor Evers said, sounds easy enough. They're doing that anyway. Shouldn't take long. And so to hear him describe it, no big deal. The money's there. They can get it. Good to go. I'm not sure how simple it will be. You know, there's the relations, I think, between the university system and Republican lawmakers right now, at least before the budget was passed, did not seem so great. I mean, Republican Speaker Robin Voss, very vocally critical of the university of late, particularly over DEI. And those positions will be there. And the university has said we have to continue DEI initiatives. This is what people expect. And so that argument is still going to happen.
Sean, thanks for joining us with the update.
Thanks, Kate. Appreciate it.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's Capital Bureau Chief. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.